For some reason, I woke up with a little extra skip in my step this morning, excited to come to work. I forgot exactly why until, yes, the craft beer people are here. Craft beer is here to stay, and as with any business or art, the creation and consumption has an impact beyond what you might initially expect. Here to tell us more are Paul Leon, Executive Director of the New York State Brewers Association, a title I think could be the coolest in the world. Greg Stacy from Brown's Brewing in Troy, New York, our dear friend, and John Carr from Adirondack Brewery in Lake George, New York. The Craft New York Beer Fest is Saturday, March 22nd from 5 to 8 at the Desmond Hotel in Albany, and it is a great pleasure to welcome you all and your beer to the roundtable.
Thank you so much for having us.
Great to be here.
We really appreciate it.
It's a delight to have you here. Paul, let us talk with you just a little bit to start off about currently the state of things, the state of this craft beer movement in New York, but just in general.
Yeah, I you know, it's funny when you, I think I do have one of the coolest jobs in the world, you know, as the first executive director of the New York State Brewers Association. I'm very lucky, and I think my job was created because of the very growth of the industry in New York State. Right now we have over, I'm counting 146 breweries with probably another 30 or 40 in planning. We could be approaching 200 breweries in the state of New York by the end of 2014. So the growth is tremendous.
You know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who is a brewer, and I was traveling, and it was in Europe, and was talking about some disappointing beer experiences, and he said, you know, one of the things you have to realize is that right now, where you live and where we are, you are in the midst of one of the best beer cultures in the world.
I would agree with that. I think you know, not being, you know, pompous or arrogant about it, but I think Americans are brewing the best beer in the world right now. And
yeah.
and it's that spirit. And every, I think, craft brewer in the country has that spirit of there are no boundaries to beer anymore, you know, and every brewery in the state has its own personality. You know, as Greg and John, you know, their beers are distinctly themselves. And that's kind of what the beer culture is in the United States. And New York, you know, really, in this governor's office, I have to give them a lot of credit as well. They are supportive of us, and they're helping us with our growth. And you know, we just got to get New Yorkers to get a little bit more on board with, to think New York and drink New York when they're out with their beer choices, much like Vermonters do. You know, Vermonters take great pride in their beer.
So I want to talk about that in a second,
sure,
because that's a whole issue. But as far as the farm brewing bill that passed last,
sure,
year, that was a big deal for everybody, right? I mean, that affected all of you, I assume.
That's a major deal. And it's funny, Greg, yeah, you could speak to this because he actually has they are a farm brewery.
Yeah, we you know, it's interesting. There are a lot more farm breweries that have been popping up. A lot more breweries have been getting their farm brewer's license. We're probably on the larger scale of some of those breweries, and what we really see, our role in this is really helping to work with the state to get the industry of hop and barley growth up. There are a lot of the smaller farm breweries who are actually growing some of their own hops and trying to grow barley.
Which is what you do, right?
Grow your hops. We grow some of our own hops, and we buy a number of hops from other New York State breweries hop growers and barley for our farm brewers' beer. But it's a challenge. You know, it's a geographically, agriculturally growing hops and barley is a big challenge. And there's a lot of things going on with the state that are working to help spur the industry. And one of the things we're able to do is help advise on what we would need and do need as a commercial brewery on a little bit bigger scale. And it's happening. It's happening. It's a slow growth, but it's getting there.
And John, you are so you're not a farm brewery.
We're not a farm brewery. We've been in existence for 15 years. When
right.
we started, farm breweries didn't exist. We advocated for them. We think it's important. Currently, in this year, we're buying about 25% of the hops that we use from New York State. They're certainly more expensive, but we're excited about it because New York State has its own hop flavors and its own hop profiles that are very different than the Pacific Northwest, and really unique flavors. If you can do them right, they come out fantastic. So even though we're not a farm brewer, we're very, very active in it and have supported that industry. And probably one of the leading brewers as far as the percentage of New York State hops that we actually use in our production beers.
Paul was mentioning this a moment ago and about encouraging New Yorkers to drink New York beer and to drink craft beer and local beer, and certainly something that is well worth it, I think. And I'm interested in the perspective of you two of how – so what are there still challenges? What are the challenges of getting into the tap rooms, getting into the bars, getting into the beverage centers? Is that getting easier, or are you still up against the big guys and always feel that fight?
We're up against the big guys, but the big guys, the playing field has changed. It's a very, very crowded marketplace. And what was earlier, I think some of the smaller guys, the Sam Adamses and the Sierra Nevadas and a lot of those breweries, they are becoming the big guys. And we're certainly all up against the big guys, the Buds, Millers, Coors. But it's a very crowded marketplace. So getting share of mind of wholesalers, retail, and consumers is very difficult. Cooler space and tap space is finite. And we're out there fighting every day to make sure that we're able to actually just get on. So when consumers get our beer, they love it. We're out doing samplings. We're out seeing people in public, and they're loving our beers. But getting out there and getting into the retail space is getting very, very challenging.
Of course, you're having the Craft New York Beer Fest on Saturday the 22nd at the Desmond. You guys do a lot of beer fests.
Well, I think, for brewers associations across the country, we're a non-for-profit. So it's really a primary fundraiser, having these beer festivals. And I think for us, especially with so many beer festivals going on, is we want to change the profile of what a beer festival is. They're really becoming more drinking events, and ours is more of a tasting event. And plus, you're really not going to find any beer festival in the state with so many New York State only breweries. We have breweries from Buffalo, the Southern Tier, the tip of Long Island. And we're also, what makes ours a little different wherever we have these festivals is we like to have local restaurants and food vendors there sampling their food to go along with the beer. So it's a little bit of a different event. We want to highlight the local food movement, Taste New York, the Governor's Initiative. They're on board with us, helping us with this festival. And it's all about local, New York State beer awareness and local food, the local food scene.
Okay, so we have beer in front of us. Where should we start, gentlemen?
I would start with a lighter colored one. That's a beer from Brown's Brewery.
Yeah.
And, some great stuff that they produce, and a fun lighter beer to start off the morning show here.
This is our cream ale. I'm going to call it a little bit more of a glass of liquid sunshine. We're all getting a little stir crazy, and our brewers jumped the gun a little bit at our request to put out our summer beer. This is a cream ale. It's a traditional style. It's got a nice hop bite to it. It's very easy drinking summer beer.
What makes a cream ale?
Well, a cream ale is essentially it's an ale. It's a lighter golden ale brewed with flaked maize. And that's as the style goes. It's kreuzend, which is a German technique and process where an unfermented lager is added to the ale. And then it is fermented at colder temperatures. And those three things together make it a little bit more of a creamy texture. So it's almost a misnomer. There isn't a cream added to it or
right.
Lactose.
And also it is, as you said, it's light, very light in color, very light in body. However, there is a Christmas to it, a crispness to it.
And that's the hop. That's the hop bite that you get from it. It's a great summer beer. Historically, cream ales were created by smaller ale breweries back in the day to compete with larger lager breweries, back when Schlitz and Old Milwaukee and Pabst and all of those breweries were really the big guys back in the day.
So is Jenny cream ale, is that a real cream ale?
That is a real cream ale. Yep, absolutely. It's similar in style, although...
This seems a little bit better.
I'm biased. I'm going to agree with you. I think it's much better.
It's a style that's really coming back. I give Jenny a lot of credit. Everybody's heard of the Jenny Cream Ale, but this style, a lot of craft brewers are embracing.
Yeah.
This is great. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to Jenny.
Not at all. It's one of the pioneers.
Affordable
exactly.
In college. I mean, good God.
Right.
All right. So what else do we have?
To segue quickly, the next step, I've got a couple of beers here. One is our Bare Naked, which is our flagship beer. I call it beer that tastes like beer. It's a style of beer that was...
It's a fantastic beer.
Most commonly brewed in New York State. There were several breweries in Albany that brewed a style very, very similar to this. It's an unpasteurized, unfiltered filtered beer. And it's our bestseller because it's very adaptable, very food friendly, very easy beer to drink.
Anything. Yeah.
And it's got a lot of Munich malt in it, going back to its German roots. We use a small percentage of New York State hops in this beer, which we're very proud of. And just a very drinkable kind of beer, very crisp, very easy to to swallow. And I thought it would be a good segue from a cream ale to, a more amber, a German influenced amber ale. And it shows, everybody, unfortunately, our listeners can't actually taste it, but, if they could envision a toasty, malty, fairly crisp beer, it is an ale, but it has a very dry finish to it.
I want you to look at it this way. John, ultimately, the listeners have elected me to be their advocate and to drink for them.
thank goodness you've got good taste in New York State beer.
At least that's how I'm justifying it. It may not be true, but that's why I'm justifying it. Go ahead, Paul.
The one thing I love about the Bear Naked, and I think what a lot of brewers do, the macro beer is still, primary. They sell a lot more of that than the craft beer. And so a beer like Bear Naked is a great beer for somebody who might drink a macro beer and say, I don't like the craft beer thing. And it's a great segue beer or training wheel beer in a sense where it helps them cross over to craft.
Can I ask that, a question? Mm-hmm. And I know you're all biased on this, but I am. But I'm curious as to the feedback that you get. What do people not like about craft beer? What is it about it that they don't like? Because there are those of us, even people who I think that I know, who enjoy and will have the large beer from the large brewers. Love that variety and love to try and do different things. And quite frankly, don't even want the same beer twice because they want to constantly try something new.
Yeah, I think we all might have different answers to that question. But I think that, for a lot of people who don't try craft, I think they just don't understand it. It's bitter. I don't like a bitter beer. And so that's why I don't like craft. Well, craft isn't always bitter. Well, I don't like dark beers. Well, dark doesn't mean heavy. So there's a lot of education, I think, that has to go on for people to really understand what craft means. And there's so many varieties out there. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel.
I think for someone coming in to say wine, they kind of start with two categories, red and white, then you kind of break into champagne and, but that's still sort of a white one. And I know the wine people are cringing because I'm oversimplifying it. But I think when somebody that's new to beer, craft beer, there's so many colors, so many varieties, so many styles. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes maybe they try one because their friend's really into really big IPAs or really high gravity stouts. And they try it and they just don't like it. I encourage everyone to try all these styles. And I think, as you get into it more and more, there's styles that I know a lot of my brew staff loves IPAs. I like them, but it's not the style that I would drink on a Tuesday night.
I don't care.
The variety, and my quote on which beer do I like the best is the one that's in my hand. They all taste good, but some of them I prefer at different times.
Right.
And I encourage everyone to try styles until they find the ones that they like.
Well, and here again, it's a sort of always that search because you're tasting, and I'm fascinated by what goes into it, the different malts, the different processes. That's what's interesting and why events like you're having are so important. So you could actually talk to the people and find out what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's what our event is so unique that we're having at the Desmond is that the brewers are actually going to be there, and I think there's as much talking as there is as drinking, sampling. And you're not going to like them all. I mean, that's the beauty of a beer festival. The point is to find something you like and embrace it and buy it. Afterwards.
And I think the events that Paul's putting together, working with the Desmond is the beauty of those events is somebody that isn't familiar with craft beer can come to that event, actually talk to a brewer, talk to a brewery owner, and really get a good perspective of their tastes and what could work for them. It's not just, a bunch of beers on a table. It's really people talking about it. And a lot of these are all New York State owned breweries and small, neighborhood breweries that have different styles that drinker might find and may not have ever tried before. And get them really excited about the category of beer as a whole.
Gary, you were at Greg. Sorry, I'm sorry. Greg was at Farm Aid, and you were serving Brown's beer there.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the competition, and it's one of those things because you were Paul mentioning the incredible amount of the proliferation of craft beers, but ultimately, right, talent wins out.
Isn't, oh, sure.
I mean, it's what. It's ultimately the people who will survive, like the people in this room, the people who will survive are the ones that get that right.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to make great beer. I mean, you can throw a bunch of money at anything, and unless you're really working on a due diligence every day to make your quality up, keep your standards up. Me and John are out in the market, selling it, talking to people, keeping your brand relevant. I mean, that is absolutely critical. And, like I said before, it's getting to be a very crowded marketplace, and it's on all of us to really keep all of our games on top. And that includes on quality. I mean, we do that every day. Mm-hmm. QC back in the brewery is making sure that we're clean and we're brewing right, and we're testing, and we're improving and tweaking all the way. I mean, you can't just be complacent and lie back and just say, "Hey, this is a beer that we make." Deal with it. The consumer chooses.
Again, the event is the Craft New York Beer Fest is Saturday, March 22nd, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Desmond Hotel in Albany. I have two darker beers in front of me. Which one do you want me to?
I think we're going to Brown's Oatmeal Stout next. Save the biggest for the last year. Our oatmeal stout is our lead beer right now. It's a beer that's made with oatmeal, flake rolled oats. Stouts tend to be darker, heavier in perception. When you taste this, you get a nice, smooth, creamy mouthfeel. The oats actually back down some of the bitterness of the dark roasted malts and the hops, and it makes a very great, easy drinking beer. We do a lot of these sampling events, and people think, "Oh my God, this is a big, heavy, dark beer. It's gonna knock me out."
Yeah.
And it doesn't. And you try it, and you realize, wow, this is a great drinking beer.
This is one of these beers that if I don't know what I want, this is what I like. This is my go-to beer. I love this beer.
It's a great beer.
It's so great.
It's a great, great beer.
And as near perfect as any beer can be, I think.
Nice.
Well, thank you.
Wow.
That's really
can
good.
Can I get a recording of that?
Bring it out. It'll be online later. You can play it however you want.
Have you on your six-packs in the future.
Yeah.
Well, Troy has had a long history of great brewing water, and I think this beer, as a brewer, really they've taken advantage of how great that Troy brewing water can be in the history of that water and produced a style that really is
so
great.
What I just drank was not it, oddly enough. What was that? I know it so well.
We'll get you some brown.
I have that.
It was the barrel age.
Now, what you're tasting, this, our oatmeal stout, we're brewing 100% out in Hoosick in our new production brewery. So we're finding that water.
Which looks great. I've only been by it, but it looks like a very nice facility.
Got to come out. We're going to be open for our retail center in May. May 31st is what we're shooting for. But we found the Hoosick Falls water has been on top of the world and been making great beer for us. We're also open fermenting, which is also new for us as well.
Excellent. Yeah, that's good news. Save the drive-in and you're all set on that corridor.
Absolutely. Yeah. We just had a fundraiser for the drive-in a week ago. And,
that's great.
They're getting there.
I hope so. I don't want to lose Hathaways. All right. So now the other beer I had, which was much a little sweeter.
So this particular beer is a beer we've done for about 12 years now. It's our Fat Scotsman, which is our highest gravity beer. It's 120 shilling Scottish ale. Mm-hmm. We do in a very traditional style.
What does that mean?
Higher gravity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It used to be that the Scots would charge, their tax rate was varied on the amount of alcohol that was in it. So a low alcohol beer might be a 60 shilling, and a high gravity beer would be 120 shilling in taxes that were
paid. So it has a higher alcohol.
Higher alcohol content. Then what we've done with it, we caramelize a lot of the wort in the kettle and do some unique properties that are traditional to the 19th century brewers in Scotland. And we then take it after it's fermented and let it age in fresh bourbon barrels for about 3 to 4 months, and then we package it. So it's got this nice caramel flavor, big mouth feel, still fairly crisp beer, which is typical of Scottish beers over British beers. And then you've got this nice warm vanilla sort of honey finish to it that the oak barrels give it, and a little bit of that bourbon smell. It probably smells more like bourbon than it tastes.
Yeah, it's got a great aroma.
It seems that over the past year or two that this seems to be more and more popular of the barrel aging. I've seen this more and more. That it's coming into favor.
Yes,
it's too much. Finding barrels is getting to be a challenge.
Yeah. I bet it is.
It's a very expensive process. It adds a unique flavor, but for people that they're looking for something different, great thing to do. With the beers, not necessarily a beer drink in the summertime, but boy, on a snowy day like today, it's just a nice beer to have when you make it home after plowing snow all day. It's a good one.
So a summer day on the deck.
That's true.
We're in the Northeast.
We're in the Northeast.
Good sipping beers.
Absolutely. When you talk about alcohol content, Paul, I think it's interesting because that is something that the more information when you go into a craft brewery, go into a brew pub, wherever you're going, all that information is available. They tell you what's in it. They tell you because we have become, I think many of us have become more savvy consumers and are looking for that information.
Mm. Yeah, the best beer, I think the best craft beer bars are the ones that educate the consumer, and they sell a ton of it. You know, a little education goes a long ways. And as far as the Brewers Association goes, that's a real mission of ours. You know, we've really not been proactive from a marketing perspective. And it goes back to we have a campaign called Think New York, Drink New York. And we really want New Yorkers to understand the quality of beer that's coming out of this state. You know, you walk in and there's tap handles from, and drinking other beer is fine from other states. That's fine. But New Yorkers really need to take more pride in their beer that's brewed here because it's really some of the best in the country.
Absolutely.
We sell a lot of our beer down in New York City, and it's amazing the passion that they have for New York State craft beer. And I think it's starting to spread to our area, you know, as the consumer gets out and discovers more. And I think the event at the Desmond's going to help with that. Because really, some of the finest beer, and you can look at the national contest, some of the finest beers made are actually coming from your neighbors and the breweries right down the street from you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're a bit jealous. We always joke, you know, there are certain states that take great pride in their beer, and it's just natural. And Vermont is one of those states. You know, Vermonters really take pride in their beer, and we think New Yorkers have as much pride as them. They just need to think more New York when they're making their beer choice.
Well, we're getting there.
We're getting there.
You know, and some of this is even the education with the ingredients. You know, I think it reflects the food movement, too. Know your food. A lot of people are interested in what's going into bread and cheese, and as that movement has matured, beer has been going along with that. And we really work to let people know what sort of grains we're using, what sort of hops we're using, and taste them and smell them in their raw ingredient. And people love that.
I mean, the exciting thing for me is whether I'm going to Brown's in Troy or if I'm going to Adirondack Brewery in Lake George or Davidson Brothers or in Glens Falls or wherever I'm headed, is that, you know, you want to see what's new. You want to see what's there. I mean, that's the exciting part, going in, seeing what's on the board, and then talking to somebody about, oh, this is new. This is we got this. This is selling really well. This just came off. This, you know.
Yep.
That I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a balance that we have to, you know, we're also in the business of commercial brewing too and keeping a consistency. So we have to get that product out too. But yeah, we both have pubs and that's a place where we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of cask beers down in Troy, you know, John, you know, year round seasonality. I mean, pumpkin beers we were talking about earlier, we're using real pumpkins locally.
Yeah,
and that's stuff that we can do that bigger breweries really can't. And
we're very fortunate to live in a very, you know, agriculturally heavy state. You know, that really is beneficial to us. And like I said before, you know, this governor and this administration really is supportive of wine, beer, and spirits, and especially us. And that's helping us grow.
Mm-hmm. Well, it will all be on display March 22nd from 5 to 8. The Craft New York Beer Fest is at the Desmond Hotel in Albany. And you can find that information. We have a link on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. And the link will bring you to all the information that you need to know about the festival taking place on the 22nd. And is there like danger of selling out or?
We're hoping we don't want to oversell this event because I think too crowded doesn't make for a fun event. So,
So
tickets are actually selling pretty fast. It's $40 online and $50 at the door. So,
okay.
Buy them ahead of time.
People can find out more and go to wamc.org/roundtable. Gentlemen, a delight. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for the great product that you produce and for the good work you do.
Thank you
for
the time.
Thank you,
we really appreciate
it. Thank
you.
Again, the links can be found wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.